Kate Roffey is the president of the Demons. She's over in the West. I'm not sure she's cleared quarantine just yet. Kate, it's great to have you on the program at such a moment.
Yeah, good morning. Yes, I'm still in quarantine, so I get out midnight Thursday, but I have just received my negative day 12 COVID test, so I'm free as soon as that clock ticks over.
Are you climbing the walls?
Not too bad. They do home quarantine over here, so I've opted for space out in the country. So I'm in the Swan Valley, away from anywhere. There's not much out here, but at least I've got a garden I can walk in and some birds I can listen to. So it hasn't been too bad.
Has it given you? Well, it would have given you a lot of time to ponder what's about to transpire.
It has. 2 weeks is just an incredibly long period of time when you're sitting there waiting for the game. I know for everyone who is stuck in Melbourne, and particularly, you know, family and partners of our players who are doing it tough, it's not really that much different. I do my work online and passes the days and media interviews. But, yeah, it's fortunately not all the hoopla around here. So I sort of can put my mind on my work focus for periods of time. But I'm sure when I get out on Friday, that'll be a completely different thing.
Do you know what you'll be walking out into? Have you got any sort of sense of it?
I've done a few radio interviews over here, and they tell me that the streets are pretty much red and blue Demon supporters. They've sent me some pictures of Cozzy Pickett and a few other players that are up around on big towers in the city centre. And I know I've got to straight in to get my hair cut. Everyone in Melbourne will be entirely understanding of that. So I'm getting my hair cut first thing, but then I'm into an AFL lunch, and then I have a dinner as well, and then we're on to Saturday. So that'll when it really starts to hit me in the eyes that we are where we are and the enormity of what we can hopefully do on Saturday.
How pleased for Simon Goodwin were you, Kate, last night to see his season acknowledged as the Coach of the Year by his peers?
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. I think these are the real things, the peer awards, you know, Clary's coaching award, Simon's coaching award. They're the things that, you know, really do show that the people who really know what's going on in the industry are respecting what they're doing. But as you know, Clary, when I spoke to him about his players award that he received, or Simon about his coaches award, I know they'd swap them any day for a premiership with their team, and they acknowledge, you know, it's a great job done, but they know that it's part of a team that's pulled together to get us this far. And I think that's what people keep asking about. What is this culture? What's going on? And I think it's just we are one club, one team, and we all know our roles. We all play our roles, and hopefully that'll get us through on Saturday as well.
So the senior coach is always such a big part of that, Kate. As you would have observed Simon as a board member and then having come to the presidency in the first month, how would you describe him in his role as you've seen him really up close?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. I'm going to talk a lot to Goody, and one of the things that we talk about, whether it's you know, becoming president or whether, as he said, becoming senior coach, you're never prepared for it. You don't quite know what it's going to be like, and it takes you a while to settle into that role. And I heard the clip that you played just before I came on, where Simon said, you know, that everything sort of took over him and got hold of him, and that's where you are learning the ropes, and you're trying so hard to make it all work and to control everything, and you realise that isn't how it actually works. And I think that's when he talks about the reset he went through, was actually sitting there and realising, hey, I don't have to do this by myself. There are other people here to support me. And really, you'd be aware, Jared, that we went through that review last year where we changed not the head coach and not thought of changing individuals, but we actually went through and said, what do we need as a coaching group here? And we brought in a number of different coaches who added to that whole need, I think, as a coaching group. And Simon's benefiting from that now, realising that, you know, it's not as president of the club, it's not me. I'm the director of a board, and I have other directors that work with me. So you don't have to do it by yourself. And I think that's a learning process that you know, Goody's really come to realise this year, and look where it's gotten us.
What's your relationship with him? What sort of contact? How regular is it?
We're always chatting away or texting away. I'm not a president who rings up and says, Goody, I think you should be playing Maxi at centre forward this week or whatever. That's not my area of expertise, but I'm more just there for him. Check in, as I do with all the players and the coaches and the staff, check in with how they're going. Is there anything more that we can do to help or provide any resources that they need? Or, you know, it's more of that supporting sort of role. If there's something we think that's not quite in line with the culture of the club, we'll raise that. But fortunately, haven't had to do that as yet this year. So it's really just, you know, as you would with any manager with a staff member, you look out for them, you try to help them and guide them where you can, and be there to, you know, to be a sounding board at other times. It's, you know, it's a really great relationship that, you know, I have with Simon and with the other coaches and the players and with the staff at the club.
What's the craving like in your Melbourne community, Kate, that you'd be tapped into it? We get the feel for it every day, the beautiful emails and the texts are coming through. How dialed into it are you?
Look, I put a post up, a friend painted their door, front door, and I posted it on my LinkedIn to say, you know, this is the true, you know, red and blue. We can't be here, but people in Melbourne are painting their doors. I think now, I just checked this morning, it's had 58,000 or so views so far. So it's, I checked that in. It gives me a reading on how things are going. People are posting their pictures and things up there. I've got Jane Nathan, who is a, you know, stalwart supporter. She was there in 64. She was 14 years old. She tells me she's painted her car Demons colours. So it's just fantastic. I mean, it is so sad that our members who've waited so long, you know, we're not playing at the G at home in front of them, but I know the boys will be, you know, absolutely focused on doing the next best thing, which is winning on Saturday and bringing the Premiership Cup home so we can all relive it when we get out of lockdown.
So, Kate, when does your Demon journey start? And it corresponds with your move to Melbourne, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm a country kid from New South Wales, actually, so we were league and union. I grew up closer to the Queensland border than Sydney. So AFL wasn't, you know, certainly wasn't really heard of when I grew up, and was just starting to come to the fore as I sort of finished high school in Narrabri. And when I came down to Melbourne, of course, the first thing everyone says is you've got to have a team. And when you're not born into it or don't have a particular reason for supporting a team, you've got to choose, and everybody tries to get you on their side. But I had some very good close colleagues who said, oh, you know, Melbourne, and they're on the bottom of the ladder. So I thought, oh, we'll go with the underdog. So Melbourne it was. So coming from outside, I have to say, outside of Victoria, you really get a sense of just how big AFL is, and you don't understand it. I think even if you live in Victoria, you certainly don't understand it if you haven't come from outside and lived here to see just, you know, it is quite, I mean, I've worked in sport all my life, and it's quite astounding just how big it is here in Victoria.
So with those fresh set of eyes, how intrinsic do you think it is to life in Melbourne, the footy?
Oh, absolutely. If I didn't, I work in sport. I came to Victoria to take up a role as the CEO of Vic Sport. So if I didn't have an AFL team, I wouldn't have had anything to talk about on not just Monday morning, but right through until Wednesday afternoon. You get a bit of a break, and then Thursday you start off with what's coming up this weekend. So it really is, but you know, it's a different thing. I chair other boards. You know, I've been a corporate director for a long time, but the presidency of a football club is just so unique. I mean, it's something that, you know, you just can't even explain just how important it is to so many people to you know, lead these clubs. It's not the size of the club. It's not in terms of financial or the size of the organisation, but it's the, you know, it's just the membership and the belief and what these clubs can do off the field. People always ask me, you know, what's the proudest thing of, you know, of being president of the club? And I say, it's what we do off the field. It's things like grassing the Santa Teresa Oval in Alice Springs with money that's raised by members, or it's your videos that our players will send off to people who are unwell, or things like that. It's the things we do off the field that make me proudest. And I think that's what, you know, being a football club in Victoria really is all about. It's just so much more than what happens on the field.
Has it changed your football watching experience now that you're president?
Yeah, I have to say, people ask me, what am I like as a watcher? I have to say, funnily enough, I seem to be a little bit calmer.
Yep.
And I think that's because I have, you know, so much more involvement in, you know, what's happening. While I don't, you know, give my opinion on what should happen on the field, I, you know, understand, talk to the coaches about what they're trying to do and whether we're delivering and executing. And as well, for me, it's, we've got other business to attend to. So as soon as Saturday's over and we hopefully get over the joy of that, then it's back to AFLW season and our facilities development and other things that just keep going on. So I think in a strange way, I've become more composed, I guess, because I'm actually a bigger part of what we're doing. Having said that, don't try and interview me on Saturday morning, Joe. I'm not sure how well I'll go then. I'm okay now where I'm out in the country and away from that hustle and bustle. But yeah, it brings a different perspective to it. I still try, you know, try not to determine whether the game's going to be won or lost in the first 5 minutes.
Yes. Yeah, that the affliction of every supporter is there somewhere.
Exactly.
And so I heard you say that you knew Peggy O'Neill in previous business activities, yes, and the like. What sort of inspiration or support or resource has she been to you as you've come to the Melbourne presidency?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Peggy's been fantastic. And even before that, I mean, there still aren't many female directors. So we have a female directors get together, and Peggy's, you know, she sort of, bless her, runs the spreadsheet and the coordinating for that. But, I've been a first female of a board that looks after shipping channels, for example. So when you're in that sort of area as first females doing things, you naturally tend to gravitate towards speaking to each other about what it's like and experiences, and even just talking about, you know, other things in general. So I've spoken to Peggy for many years about different things, and certainly as Kylie and I have both taken over in presidential roles, I know there's no one that's more delighted than Peggy, because she, you know, I think she said to me, I'd be devastated if she finished up as president and there wasn't a female, you know, in situ at one of the clubs. And she said, now I've got two. So she's really, you know, proud of the fact that there are more women coming through. And there's no doubt that Peggy's had a huge role to play in that. And, you know, a lot of people reach out and speak to Peggy, but I certainly do. And, you know, she's always fantastic, giving a bit of input and insight into, you know, just what it would be like in grand final week. Now, yep, nobody knew what it would be like here, but she said, you know, just try and enjoy it. She said, but take it slowly, because otherwise you're exhausted by the time you get to the game. But yeah, she's fantastic. And I think, you know, we all know that Peggy will leave a huge legacy in the AFL world in particular, but just in women's progression up these ladders in general.
So much of what we've seen in recent times in footy, a lot of the analysis is the X's and the O's and the way the game is played. And yet there's a clear and obvious connection between culture and alignment and connection. And maybe it even is something a little bit spiritual as well. How would you define that in what you've seen as to how it all comes together to produce the right X's and O's out on the field?
Yeah, it's a strange thing, isn't it? We talk about it on the sports scientist by background. We talk about the flow state, or when everything just clicks. And I think that's what we're seeing now with the Melbourne Football Club is a long journey. I mean, I've been on the board for 8 years, and we've certainly rebuilt the list, and we've brought these players through together. And a lot of that, you know, being able to execute on the field is experience and mental toughness. But there also comes a time, and I think this is what's happening now, that final piece of the puzzle, when you start to realise that it isn't about self, and it isn't about you winning the game, it isn't about you over-executing or trying to do everything. It's actually about trusting the team and trusting everyone to know their role and play their role. I think that's what we're seeing now, and that's what the selflessness you talk about when you're commentating or listening to games, you say, oh, the selflessness is there. It's not silly selflessness, but it's understanding that it doesn't matter if I kick 5 or 6 goals, so long as we win the match. And I think that's the cultural maturity that you're starting to see at Melbourne, and that's what's really coming across on the field. If Clary has a great game 1 week and Christian has it the next week, and then we see an absolute ripper like Maxie played a couple of weeks ago,
yes,
then that's okay. You don't have to do it every week, because there'll be someone who does it. And, you know, I think that is a cultural, mental, I don't know what it is, Jared, universal energy, whatever it is, but it seems to be clicking for us now.
There should be something mystical in sport, and I reckon there is. Mm. Kate, it's great to catch up. Good luck with your last 24 hours or so, and enjoy release into the world.
Absolutely. I'll be looking forward to that haircut, as all Melburnians will fully understand.
Good on you. Kate Ralphie is the president of Melbourne. She joins me from quarantine in Western Australia. Now, did we just get hit by an earthquake? That was amazing. 0433981116. Did that just happen everywhere? The building fully shook. The glasses on the shelf are rocking back and forwards. I've never felt a tremor like that in Melbourne before. Are we all in? Do we all feel that? That was a proper earthquake. Blimey.